Good morning, my name is Anisa Anis from South African Weather Service. I'm the acting GM for Human Capital Management.
Good morning, members. My name is Dominique Lindaban from South African Weather Service, General Manager Operations.
Good morning, members. I'm Lina Makulen, the CEO of South African Weather Service.
Good morning, members. My name is Marilise Wagner, Chief Financial Officer of South African Weather Service.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Zanda Machokwene, the GM of the Weather Service for South African Weather Service.
Good morning, members. My name is Mapula Khari. I'm the General Manager of Commercial Services for
Fed. Hello.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Sibongiseni Sami, the director in the Office of the DG and the Mandela Assessment.
Thank you. Are there people that were mentioned, DG?
Morning, my name is Aisha Michael from Environmental Affairs. I'm under CD Governance.
Good morning, Kumafani BMG.
Thank you, colleague. By the way, since we are meeting with you for the first time on this exercise, we are likely to get to understand whether you are the type of organization that needs a target and prepare ourselves for this year. We are likely to do that. Just get to understand whether you, what type of an organization are you? Are you the type so that we are well prepared for the first quarter? Because you still have to come to us for the first quarter, which is done. Yeah. And still have to come to us for the second quarter when it is done this year. So, whilst this is important, it's more of compliance. But it also gave us a sense of what type of an organization are you? Are you the type of organization that takes your work serious? So that we don't just collide with the annual report and the findings of the Auditor General. We must get a sense now whether you are able to meet your targets, to meet your obligations, and to meet the objectives that were set for, but more importantly, are you able to accept that you're supposed to be of the people of this country? In the main, are you serving the people of this country in a manner that can be accounted for? Not in these broad areas that you told us about other day. In a manner that it can be accounted for so that all of us, when we say we are SANPAS, we are oversighting SANPAS as a portfolio committee, all of us can say without any hesitation that SANPAS is indeed able to do what it is expected to do, is able to plan its work, is able to set targets, is able to meet those targets. That's what we are interested in. Whether financial, whether human, whether in the workspace. So that's what we are interested in broadly. So we will be sizing you now. We'll be sizing you, looking at you like this, sizing you. Yeah. Just like we size the department. Now we are sizing you. Members, whilst we are on that, by the way, I just received a letter and I told you from the deputy minister. And the minister. As you will know, the organization that I belong to, biggest organization in this country, in the continent, and probably the West, setting an important workshop. So we're allowed to be here. And after we are here, at 2 o'clock, we must go to that workshop ourselves as well. So it's a very important workshop. So they are attending that workshop even on our behalf. But of course, they are not the accounting people. The accounting people are here. So it's you who are accounting on behalf of this entity. Before we start with the SANPAS members, you have something that we have circulated. Just read what is written there. It's a documentary, Blood Lions. There will be a showing on Friday, on the 20th. Those that want to accompany me there, just say yes, you are available. That's all we're asking. We have the time then. We want to see what is this Blood Lions. So that we ask the department, why are you allowing it? If indeed our lions are being killed or done all sorts of things. But we will go and see this documentary, then we will make the necessary arrangements. If some of us want to go there, I know that the department has a separate invitation. If you want to join us, that's your business. My business is to ask members. Members, just indicate to the secretary that you are available, that you go and view this. I will be going. Honourable members, can we now allow SANPAS to take us through the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter 2014. But is this the way it is? It was working earlier. What fixed the computer? Fine. Well, while I still are waiting, isn't it all of us have the presentation? The copy. Yes. Can we? That's the good part. Being prepared. So we would move on, notwithstanding this disappointment. Baba, please.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, DG, and colleagues. We are presenting 2014-15 financial performance December. We will also do our financial statements. The CFO of December will do that. Chair, once again, we were here earlier this week. We spoke about the vision and mission. I will repeat that for context. And also quickly look at the high-level structure of the organization. And also we look at the finance reporting, the same framework that we use. And also go to the meat of the day, our performance, financials, and also the audit issues, because we've been audited already by the AG. Chair, our vision is to connect this system of national parks. We want to see connecting society because people relate in many ways to our mandate. Our mission is to develop these parks, continue to expand them, managing them well. We promote this system of national parks so that we can achieve representativity in terms of our biodiversity and heritage assets. We want to be innovative, looking at the best practice for the just and equitable benefit for the current and future generations. Therefore, we are about the present, we are also about the future. Our high-level structure is there, honorable members. You can see there are some vacancies that we are currently trying to see the recruitment underway. In the next slide, we're showing the spread of these national parks, where you see the small greens and the big greens and the good cop, the Senaps, who are represented in all provinces except the KZN and the Northwest. The land under conservation in the country is almost 8%. More than 50% of that is national parks. It is managed by us. That is state government, which we continue to grow working with the market department. When it comes to tourism, because we see tourism as the conservation strategy, you need tourism to generate some revenue. You need tourism for people to appreciate the system of national parks. We are the biggest tourism product owner under government, with more than 15,000 beds, which more than 6,000 of those are formal, and then we have about 8,000 which are campsites. It's a product that is a vacation issue because some people prefer not to brick and mortar. They will prefer to camp in our national parks. Therefore, you need to accommodate that segment of the market. We are also doing our tourism business, working with the private sector, PPP concessions. This is your four-star, five-star type of accommodation. because if we go there on our own, we'll have to cater for the particular market that might not be South African market. Therefore, to diversify, we took on fishing, we target that crop market. That can accommodate more than 500 tourists and in 242 accommodation units. Mostly are in Kruger, in the outdoor, but we want to continue looking at this area further. Kruger National Park accounts for 57% of the total accommodation because it is the biggest, it's a flagship national park of our country. We are planning to expand the tourism infrastructure. We are now busy, we've done the EIA, it's close to be finished, for our Skukuza Conference Lodge. We want to be able to accommodate some of the small conferences. We are also talking about Malelan Safari Lodge. This one was a bit an issue of contention, where some people were saying, why are you in the business of building hotels? We say it's a lot. Our footprint is big. We are balancing the ease of economic development and conservation. It has been a slow process, the Malelane Lodge, but discussions are underway in order to fast-track this. More than 6,500 building facilities. We have more than 12,000 kilometers of roads that we must maintain, our road network. We also have more than 2,000 kilometers of fences that are protecting our parks. In that site, you'll see we're showing next to East Kutukop. That's where there's accommodation. You can see the site there. Therefore, it is our strategy to retain our accommodation at a critical level so that can accommodate South Africans. Whilst through PPP concessions, we want to target the other type of market. In terms of reporting, Chair and Honourable Members, we are using the performance framework reporting based on both National Treasury, but they do prescribe how you report, and also the PME framework. Although we are an SOE, our operational performance is mainly influenced by legislative mandate from constitution, from relevant pieces of legislation, and also our public obligation for public good. We need to look at that. Government MTS have priorities of the department. As a shareholder, we always align ourselves. There could be some broad corporate governance directives that we implement. Some might come from Parliament or implement. We also align ourselves to the National Development Plan, which is a bigger vision of government. In terms of our performance, Chairperson, we look at our budget variance, so that can break even. We managed to declare a surplus of 287 million. In terms of disclosure, in terms of general recognized accounting practices, which is a new system being developed by Treasury, it's in the BFMA, we need to, as part of income, even the transfer of budget from the department, we declare as income. Besides the own generated revenue. The CFO can explain further on that one. In terms of our expenditure, you can see we have achieved, we have exceeded our target in terms of the budget surplus. In terms of expenditure, you can see that we are above what we budgeted for. This, members, is due to the whole issue of rhino poaching, training of rangers working extended hours to fight poaching in the bush, and to ensure security, of course. We also enforced our security in our days because we realized there's some risk if you outsource that element. We thought that let's deploy our own people to make sure that we have proper controls, because sometimes companies in the SLA, they will promise you big things, but we realize that as they do the job, you experience some few problems, although you continue fixing them. Our legal fees, Chairperson, were a bit high last year. That's why we spend more money in that area. In terms of our tourism revenue, our baseline was 7%. We barely to grow it by 0.5%. I'm happy to say, Chair, for the last year was good for us, because we managed to achieve a current performance of 10.5% because of the spend by the tourists. Although even the economy is a bit under stress, but we continue to get people visiting our parks. When it comes also to grow the revenue, we look at issues of fundraising. Go. Next slide. No, back. Go back. In this slide, honorable members, we do fundraising as an institution. It's a highly competitive area because there are too many people fundraising in the name of conservation, in the name of fighting wildlife crime. Therefore, we compete too much in that space. We had a target of 100 million that we wanted to fundraise. We only achieved 92 million. Therefore, 7.5% less in way of ambitious there. But we'll continue engaging people, because people still like our brand. They still believe that we are doing the right thing. Hence, they are willing to give us money. Of course, we need to account. We always want to have clean money, because we do reject people giving us money whose things are thirsty, because we are a public entity. Next slide. When it comes to facilitation of socio-economic development, is one of our strategic objectives. We do provide free access, especially to the previous disadvantaged communities who cannot afford our parks. Therefore, we have the target of 18,100, but we manage during our National Parks Week, which is also coming this year. The first week of September, we use exactly that. Here, Chairperson members, we are only counting for that week. We do have other free entrances during the year for school groups. We do environmental education and awareness. We have the target of 180,000 of those programs. We achieved more than 230,000 because of our Kudu Green School initiatives, our Kids in Parks program, our park-based environmental education program, and also Imbewu Youth Program. We are doing this to afford young leaders to understand what we're all about. Next slide. Here we are just showing some of our awareness. We have these buses where we pick and pay and the department to run this program with the Department of Education. Next slide. Also in the same strategic objective, we are involved, we get a grant, huge grant, I must say, from government in terms of job creation. We are one of the implementers of this government program. In terms of person days created on temporary jobs, we targeted 1.3 million. We slightly achieved that by 1.355, which is 3.6% in that area. We also created temporary jobs, of course, in the same program. We targeted 7,000. We managed to achieve 12,000 through that program. Therefore, it's 6.2% above the target. This is also a program that will link to small, medium enterprises that we need support through this program. There are prescriptions for that. We targeted about 400. We managed to achieve 700 of support to those SMMEs. Next slide. This is the type of work in that program. We have the different parts, which is more infrastructure, which is an intensive program. You need to use manual labor, not machinery. You are measured on that. We also have an eco-finisher program. This one is the one member might say is out of mandate. We have been instructed to implement it. We are doing it. We are delivering gas to schools. We even go as far as doing coffins. There are these finishers, eco-finishers in Harangula, in KZN, in Southern Cape. We do the finishers. Therefore, we did that. We need DG to amend our act to accommodate eco-finishers.
You, in the parks, they do keep to clear wood that is called invasive. And the issue here is the use of that wood. And therefore, it is the whole value chain that they are getting involved in. So it's not quite far out of their mandate. Thanks, Chair.
Continue, Fundi. We are not sure whether the DG is correct, because we have another program called environmental something. But we'll get to that.
Thanks, DG, for that clarity. We have working for wetland, working for ecosystems. It's just to demonstrate the person and all the members what we do to support program of the number of impact we do. In the fight of rhino poaching, besides the training of rangers, we also train environmental monitors to support the fight. We have partnership with the Wildlife College near Kruger National Park, where we train these youth to be fit and be ready to support government in this fight. We are also with canines. You can see the dog there. They support to do that. One small area here is about how we designate them, and also the insurance for these youth if they have fatalities in the line of duty. It's one thing that we are busy discussing with the department. Next slide. In the same strategic objective, we do have a number of community-based socio-economic initiatives that we implement. This one, Chair and all the members, in our tourism revenue that I spoke to earlier, we take 1% of that to assist these projects. We targeted to do 12, we managed to do 17. There we talk about school computer laboratories, school science laboratories, school dormitories, student support program, necessaries for medicinal plants, and also to develop skills. This is the money we are able when we get requests from different communities, because we need to remain relevant. One might say, why do you support computers? People who might need this facility, they need to connect to Sandbox to say, at least we must sound irrelevant. Schools, neighboring our parks, we intervene and support. Next slide. It's just pictures showing what we do to assist school science, computer labs, and also necessary in Kukuza. Next slide. We need to integrate. We'll change this own coming year, because I was saying to my colleague, it's confusing. Because it's a public document, you cannot just willy-nilly change this. What we are demonstrating here, which is supposed to be part of tourism, is about our occupancies in the parks. We take a big share of that, because on accommodation alone, you can see we are above target. Outright National Parks occupancy, you can see we take a share of more than 56%. It's also in the SA, is shown there. we are improving year on year on this. We want to continue making parks, developing new products in order to improve that. Our visitor numbers continue to grow. I must say 75% of our visitors are South Africans. We target also domestic visitors. This is one area where we are not agreeing with AG in how they measure us in this. One engagement with them because they want evidence to say indeed it was a tourist. They are asking for a source document. They want to see a form where you fill your name to say indeed I'm white, indeed I'm black. I don't think South Africans normally want to emphasize that. But our gatekeepers, they look at people, they mark them. But now AG wants a source document. And then that source document cannot be reliable because you can decide to see whether you are black or white. It's up to you. Then it could be misleading. It's one area we continue. But what we have reported, we are improving in this area. Next slide. As I indicated that we grow our revenue, more than 70% are South African, 2% is SADC. I'm told that in tourism states, SADC, they come here for shopping, but they do visit our national parks. But I must say in Africa, Africa is rich in biodiversity. They might end up visiting Kenya, visiting Tanzania, but we still get a market share for that. International tourists, more than 24%. We are trying to unpack that. You can see Germans still appreciate our barbecue. Because some people, they don't want to come here, especially Americans, they want full service. But in our past, it's almost self-catering. But they tend to go to the concessionaires in terms of when we analyze our markets. Next slide. And also, in terms of the other streams of revenue, we do franchise restaurants are assorted. We do have those brands in our parks, the Wimpy, Tibonet's Pizza, Mark and Beans. It's an area that we need to manage strictly because it's about retail, it's about food and beverage. Therefore, that sensitivity is there. We want to make sure that the standards, they comply with health prescription, and also they give excellent service. Even their markup, we look at that so that they don't have too expensive and also quality. That was one area that we monitor because these are our strategic partners. We also have a partnership with SALE in terms of flights to our Skukuza airport. Next slide. We want to promote effectiveness. We are measured in this area by the department. They do an audit. There's an area that we need to continue expanding our estate, as highlighted in our mission. We target some hectares. We targeted 2,000 hectares last year. We managed to incorporate just about 6,000 hectares in our national park system on those parks. Here we look what we call underrepresented ecosystems or biomes, like your Namakaro. In the Atlas Plains, you need the low-lying rainbows there. In the Table Mountain is the Cape Flora Kingdom of the world in this area, all the way from here up to the Eastern Cape. Therefore, one continues that adding some land under that, and also in Namakwa area, which is the Sakhen Karo. We look at those. Although opportunistic in our response, because we will go for the land that becomes available in the market. But we are in our plan, we target underrepresented biomes as part of the national expansion strategy that was developed by the department. We do rehabilitation, but this is one area we did not achieve in terms of the initial. When you come across an infested area with these alien species, you'll do your initial clearing. This includes that. Therefore, you must do follow-up all the time. Therefore, we had planned to do 44,000 of initial clearing. We realized that let's put emphasis on follow-up. Because if you leave it unattended, the succession, the way they grow, you end up going back to the forest again. This is where we need, we work emphasize on follow-up. Hence, we didn't achieve that target. We'll fix it coming, moving forward, so that we don't come back and say we're not achieving this area. Next slide. In terms of monitoring our biodiversity, we continue to do that, but we had some challenges in terms of our aerial support. It means, honorable members, we need to count our animals, all of them, not only rhinos, especially your mega herbivores, like your elephants, your buffaloes, your rhinos. You need to have your estimates correctly. Therefore, we have some concerns there that we budget better because it's a core of our business study. We need to give these estimates. Therefore, we were below the target slightly. Our cultural heritage program, again, when you do these things, there is a thing called an EIA that you must follow due process. Therefore, our museum in Kukuza, the wait list there, as you see that yellow. Next slide. Poaching incidents. Let me explain this one slowly, honorable members. The target,
whether you do it slowly or fast, not making the difference. You should have to explain it.
I'm trying to do that. It's one area we're also having an issue with the AG. We'll have to change this target. Because the way it's structured, I'm not making excuses on the numbers, is that that target you can't measure. Because it says poaching incidences not to exceed growth rate. But growth rate, you can do that by aerial census. You might do that every 2 years or every year. We're supposed to have measured here our interventions. In this coming APP, we are changing that because we need to measure interventions we do in order to drop the killings, not to measure death rate. I think it was a slightly misleading type of a target. Therefore, I was showing the rhinos we lost in the year we are reporting, which there's been an increase from
I think that was slowly.
What were you supposed to measure?
We did it very slow.
Slowly, chapter. I'm not making, I joined Sandbox in December. I'm not making it too soon.
But that was not a question. That was not a question. In terms of the strategic objective, what are you expected to measure? And therefore, how do we hold you accountable on this matter? And stand now.
Chairperson, we're supposed to have said we will decrease the number of killings in a particular year. Because that's what South Africans want to see. But this year,
that's not what is there.
Yes, sir.
We want to understand what is there. If what were you expected to measure in terms of your own measurement and target?
Is to measure that your incidences are not exceeding the growth rate. It means animals giving birth. For some are breeding. But what I'm saying here, all members, to do that, you cannot measure every quarter. Otherwise, we'll have these helicopters flying every quarter, say, this quarter, 4 babies were born. It's not possible. But you cannot measure the growth rate. You can only measure the growth rate once you do your aerial census, which practically you can do it once a year or once every 2 years. You cannot count every quarter. So I'm saying say, it's difficult to measure this one.
That's all that we wanted. We will come back to that. But why would even make things a little bit hazy is that when you talk of incidences, those incidences, some might not necessarily result in poaching. they might result in attempted poaching. That was threatened. So that might even make it a little bit more messy. But we'll come to that. We don't know why such a measure, but we understand how CEOs operate.
Okay, next slide.
Chair, we are just showing here the mortalities comparing for the previous years. Kruger continue to be under attack here. Next slide. Chair, the interventions. We have...
Before you go to that one, can you study that one that you rushed through? I'll talk to that one.
Sure.
Don't rush through. Just be slow on that one as well. Slowly. We are assisting you now.
So we are showing here rhino mortalities. True bullshit. We're not talking natural deaths. You can see 2011, 12, we lost a number. It has grown through year, grown next year. Last year we lost 878 rhinos. That year was showing the increase of the mortalities over that period. It was 58%. But we also show on average how many rhinos are killed per day. Like 2.4 in 2014-15. Was in 2013-14, it was about 1.7. Therefore, want to show to Parliament that we are analyzing this, hence we are showing the way we are doing it.
No, we agree with you. But why we wanted you to speak to it? So that all of us get the sense of the difficulties we are facing.
Yes.
Because you see, your point two that says that there's been an increase of over 222%.
Yes.
Between 2011, 2012, and 2014, within 2 years, then,
yes,
we have had this. So therefore, we need interventions that are just out of this world.
Yes.
If we don't, we will continue, and I think we will continue with the figures that we had.
Yes.
That we released, we continue. So we will talk to that.
Yes.
But why we wanted you to speak to it is so that you. As Parliament, we must also find ways and means of assisting you.
Yes.
So you didn't need to rush through it. You didn't need to. And also, you are right. It also speaks to how your target is then structured.
Yes.
To speak to this difficulty that we are facing.
Yes. In the next slide, senior members, we are showing these interventions. Because you need to manage the killings through various ways, enforcement, arrests, there must be convictions, you must work with communities, therefore you are managing the threat. You must also manage rhinos themselves, because you must grow the population. Why there's an onslaught in one side, you need intervention to grow the numbers. What you have noticed over years, smaller populations are easy to monitor because if you have a farm of 10,000 hectares, you can patrol that farm 24/7. But given the Kruger boundary, you cannot put every ranger, every meter, blind them in that border. It's not possible. Therefore, translocating rhinos from hot spots to lesser to safer zones is one way of growing the population. That's where now you need to work with the sector. You need to deliver small reserves owned by the state. But before you do that, you need to do a risk assessment. You need to make sure that there's a security plan. you need to also do what we call habitat suitability and viability. Because in order for the animal to breed, you need good food for it. Therefore, the fell should be suitable. There must be enough water for them. It should not be too small, because when it's too small, they fight and kill each other, the bulls. You must also look at the ratio. Bears one bull to five females, not 50-50. Otherwise, they spend time fighting, not doing the right thing. You need to increase capacity of range. You need to increase capacity of range, as the honorable members. You need to improve technology. You need fundraise, working with external partners. In Kruger, we're having this intensive protection zone where we deploy technology. That work is underway, Chairperson and members. We are hoping we'll see change, because this is one area that we can come specifically to brief Parliament on what to do on that intensive zone. Because it will need to take time, because more technology, there's also some elements of confidentiality on what you do to do that. Because in that way you can detect even persons getting down there before they actually kill the animals, so that they can react, the type of things are deployed. We are also, agreements are led by the department, and we do cross-border cooperation with Mozambique. We must be the chairs and members that we have seen improvement in Mozambique. But what we have seen now, the criminals are coming around to the western side of Kruger, in South African side. This is why we spoke to the United Joints starting as part of Operation Fiela between now and December to start the cleanup in the western borders. These are the arrest members. You can see it's interesting. Therefore, it's like a competition. The thing is intensifying. We arrest more, more are recruited, are entering the park. You can see that side, we saw rhino numbers increasing. You can see the arrests are also increasing. The more we arrest, the more they intensify. Now it's like two sides competing. Recruiters are recruiting, they deploy more, we try to deploy more, we arrest more, they bring more. Therefore, that's the situation. We cooperate with stakeholders with Mozambique. We work with the concessionaires on the eastern boundary as part of Operation Lubombo. We work with Mozambicans in the Limpopo National Park, which is a cross-border park. We work with the Nkoma interest groups. We also work with the private sector. There's a group called Game Reserve United in the western boundary of Kruger. We work with those. We work with ops as part of the joint ops that we have in the Kruger. Our field ranger corps, special ranger corps, we have an air wing that we operate. We have increased capacity with new helicopters with night vision equipment that we can fly even at night. We also have our protection services, our own traffic corps that are making sure that cars entering the park safely. We also give our own gate security to assist with that. There are police and soldiers deployed in the area. There are a group of detectives that has been deployed to assist with the investigations in our cases. Right. We also involved in research, chairperson and members, where we want to have research projects to understand what we're managing. Scientists tend to do what you call sky science, what they like. But we are emphasizing to our own that we need to focus our research on topical issues to understand the trends so that we can report appropriately. Therefore, we're doing well so far in that area. Next slide. On job creation, we have a number of jobs created. Again, for permanent, we targeted 75. We have only achieved the 19 during that year. several jobs. We did well there. We targeted 250. We managed to create 205. Therefore, in our business, we run restaurants, we build a new accommodation. Therefore, in that, in doing our work, we do create jobs. It's outside the one where we get money from government. In running our business, there are jobs created. In terms of EE targets, I know...
I want to clarify us. You see, you're saying total of 102 permanent staff were hired.
Yes.
Now, where is that? Permanent staff, and here we are talking about permanent staff.
Yes.
102, and yet in your effort performance,
yes,
you have 19. Which you, your second point, new permanent jobs created were 90.
Yes.
Now, how does that differ with new people that were employed that were 102?
You must assist me. Yes, sir, you are correct, Sir President. CFO want to resume me.
Chair and honorable member, thank you. The 102 permanent staff members were hired in total, includes the vacancies that were filled, whereas the 19 that we see there was in fact an increase in the establishment figures of Sandparks. So for example, if previously the total establishment was 4,000, in the current year the establishment grew by 4,019. But the 102 includes vacancies that were subsequently filled in the year.
I thought like that, but you then need a feeling of vacancies because you must have that as an objective. How many vacancies were there? How many were filled? Because when you put it like this, it's very confusing. Because you don't even tell us what was the base and net end of it, of your vacancies. We don't know that. So it's very confusing to us. But you'll tell us at the end. We can continue for now. How many vacancies are there during that year? And show us the staff establishment. And what were those vacancies? 102. Look, now that would be interesting. But it's good that it's the CFO that is saying that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the women and the physically challenged, Chair, we got a message clear from Parliament on this area. When you present, if an area, Chair, in our strategy moving forward, we need to look at even the our organizational design exercise we want to do. But we need to look at our structure, job fit, for starting that process. This will be addressed through that. We are below on women. We are at 1.2% on disabled. There's an issue in managing our human capital chair, whereby we need to look at the safety of our staff. We are improving this person because incidences of this nature are getting lesser because we improve compliance in terms of how we do business, safety clothing, and also training people, even in handling the equipment. Therefore, it's an area that is improving. Under skills development, in terms of learnership focusing on accommodation services, the ABET, our skills program, we targeted 85%. We managed only to achieve
just a minute. 85% of what? You see, when you tell me a number, it makes me comfort. But when you say 85% of what? Of the workforce? I don't know. Maybe you know better. Therefore, you can come in. When you say 85% of what? You see, some of us at this did arithmetic school.
Yes, we are missing the baseline there. If I can unpack it, Chair, you have, for example, your internships, where you take young graduates. They come to parks and work in different areas. That's the point number one. You have your own internal staff that you upskill. You will also offer bursaries to the employees, even their children, and those that are qualifying. And also,
these will be different categories who also need their own baseline at NRS. Now, you are still not asking me. In fact, that comments that makes things even difficult, more difficult. Because we want to know, if you are talking about learnerships, how many have learnerships? What is the baseline? How many degrees do the other years? 2030, 2040, or how many did you plan for? If we are talking about bursaries, again, for our own bursaries, for our own staff and for people outside, how many did we have and how many, no matter what the money says, but how many in terms of our planning, children and all those issues, can you come back to us with a better written thing on this one? Because I think that this, we are just doing it for compliance. It just came with 85%, then we are passing 80. If I was a DG, not DG, AG, I would have said a deliberate easier. Something that I can say in this honorable house.
As I indicated that we are missing the baseline here, because we have to report as is. But we take the point because we ask ourselves, we are moving this one area where we need to improve and have proper numbers, proper baseline, to know where we are growing from.
Chair, I think the key question is whether CENPAS has managed to establish a baseline for this new financial year, because it looks like in their APP there was no baseline. It will still be a kind of an escalation when they come back with re-explaining the numbers, even at that point. So I think we'll just have to check whether there is a baseline, because this is one of the areas where they have not been doing that well compared to the other entities.
Thank you. I think when you come back to us, we will not say, we will not go through the same questions. When you come back, even if you don't have baselines for the quarter, indeed you can go to a department and say that we did wrong here. Can we make amends? You can do so now because it's allowed by the Act. It's allowed by our law, so that you do what is proper. So that when you come to us to report on the first quarter 2015-16, we are not faced with the same problems.
Chair, you are correct. Because in our annual report, I see figures, but the way it was structured here, it was, we kept on checking. In this financial year, we'll fix that. Next slide. In summary, Chair and members, our total performance, we achieved 74% of our targets, 7.4 below, and also where we are in the border, we are at 18%. Thank you, Chief. This is last slide. CFO Chairperson, with permission, will have our financial position. Thank you.
Okay. CFO, we don't have much time.
Yes.
If you can just run through your finances, please, quickly.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I will deal firstly with the income statement. Basically, the revenue for the year was 2.798 million. Now, that's broken down between own income and government grants. Own income in the main was made up of tourism income, which for the first time, Chairperson, I might add, exceeded 1 billion for the year. So the organization is certainly doing well in that regard. In terms of government grants, was made up of 1.3 billion, mainly for special projects of 746 million, against which there was an expenditure of 674 million. Conservation investments of 559 million, and on roads infrastructure, 19 million. In terms of employee costs, the next big item on the expenditure column is 871 million, but that includes provision for post-retirement medical benefit, which grew in the year by 48 million. And as we heard earlier, that our anti-Rana Bochin ranger team had grown by 150 rangers, making it a total of 400 active rangers in the Kruger National Park. So anti-poaching activities are costing us yearly in terms of employee costs. The operating lease of 76 million, 112 million rather, is made up mainly of rental paid for vehicles that we hire in for the execution of our operations in the parks. Chairperson, so basically, as the CEO indicated, we do reflect a surplus for the year of 287 million, but that is largely due to a technical accounting related issue in terms of Grad 23, where grant income is recognized in the income statement as the money is spent, but all assets which are going to be made up at the end was not necessarily capitalized. So you always have a timing difference, and the timing difference simply means that the depreciation costs are not coming through at the time when we recognize the income, and so then the depreciation costs will come through in later years. And so we will see a swing from a surplus, which is now declared, to possibly a loss going forward as the depreciation expenses come through on the income statement. It's a technical issue that's brought about by the accounting standards. Chairperson, then I'll move to the next slide, please. To the
just a minute, Stefan.
Yes.
Just on the timing that you have just referred to in terms of depreciation and so on, what may be the difference between depreciation costs and or the value of the housing and the maintenance of that asset?
Okay, the depreciation, the concept of the depreciation is that you create a provision on an annual basis by writing down an asset, right, the value of it, and by the value of which you write it down, effectively you should be putting money aside to replace it eventually. So that's the concept, right? In terms of its repairs and maintenance, that is being incurred even before it's capitalized because you're using part of the assets in the execution of your duties. So you incur those repairs and maintenance costs. But again, when the asset is completed and fully commissioned, then there's going to be an increase in the repairs and maintenance costs as well. So effectively, the theory is that by the end of the useful life of the asset, you have created a provision to be able to replace the asset. But there is a timing difference between, some of our assets take us 2-3 years to complete. You know, so typically a construction of a dam, construction of roads, etc. Right.
Okay.
Indeed. Indeed, yes. So I'm not going to repeat it under the specific question.
Your audit opinion?
Yes, sir.
You're saying you obtained an unqualified audit?
That's correct, yes. And we
is that true?
Yes.
Oh, okay. But with serious findings. Now, it's findings on your...
AOP.
Yes.
Say, if I could run through that quickly, we all know now it's to do with the black visitors and the rhino sets, basically. Yeah.
No, I know. I know what they are. Yeah. Rhino sets and and also visitors.
Yes.
Not necessarily black.
Yes.
South African visitors.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Colleagues, let's get to hear your point of views on this matter. Of course, from me, 74% is not good enough. It's not good enough in terms of what you planned. And Particularly also if we take on board that what also the AD said, that some of your objectives were left a lot to be desired, as we have already pointed out ourselves. So if we were to include those, you might even be lesser than 70% in terms of your achievement. Honorable Member Stanner, any other whip, and other, yes.
And Gordon Sissaro, are we asking questions as well? Thank you, sir. I just wanted an opinion on why Botswana and Swaziland are having successes when compared with South Africa, and what happens to the translocated rhino that are not sold, and what is the average sale price when they are sold. You say fundraising from external partners, how much is that, and the effectiveness of the MOUs. Is there a hot pursuit agreement in place other than cross-border cooperation? And you've provided the arrest statistics, but we can only analyze as a committee if we know the number of incidents that have taken place during the year and also the conviction rate and who is responsible for intelligence. I'll leave it there for now, Chair.
As you I said about listening, but as provoked by the presentation, I think I may need to ask a few questions. One, just an interest, I know you talked about the funding, but the expansion that we referred to is largely on the tax that we are already managing, either in terms of, to me it's additional beds, it's additional buildings and so on. It's not really a question. The first thing is whether you're planning or are there any plans to expand toward Northwest and KZN so that we don't have to manage what we've got and think it's got given. We can even in the new disposition do something in that regard. Second, the targets on page 6 and 7 and 8 appear to be like you're achieving more than what you had targeted at times very extremely, and it begs the question whether those targets were realistic or were actually were they pushed to realistic heights other than just somewhat putting them at low for easy achievement. So we may want, even if we can't deal with that here now, probably I would expect the sustenance of those that have been achieved now going forward is the main part of what you need to do 15-16 financially. On the SMEs, I'm not sure you may be worried about time, and the EPWP projects that you have actually achieved, what can it be said is attributed to? And I just missed what were the factors that led to that major achievement. That's the last thing. On the employment equity, on the women, you seem to be struggling. What are the contributing factors? Or it would be unfair if I don't ask the CFO a question. What is the percentage of the depreciation value that is supposed to be worked out as for? I take it in financial terms, there should be a particular percentage. Are you meeting that or not? Just for us to understand where are we, even if the timing may be wrong, and the other assets that have been there, are you meeting that? Are you just struggling with the new ones in terms of time or what? Have I made myself clear? Okay, so thank you.
Just welcome Honorable Shalembe and Honorable Maluleka.
Ega leboga, modula setulo. Nna
kutanyana ya kapela ke tsena ya sense a botsa didi gore mo targeteng ya rona ke tsese le se lebeletse go se go se fetola ke batla go tlhaloganya ka e tle monna e be go a botsa.
Thank you, Chairperson. My slight question, it was on the measurables that the Chairperson raised, where the member was talking about the immeasurables that are supposed to be changed from the target where it was focusing on the death rather than how it's supposed to be, what is supposed to be measured with, because the memo was talking about the interventions. Can we measure now from the interventions rather than from the death? The clarity on that one.
So, basically, what will be the correct target on rhino question? What should be put as target then?
No, I think first and foremost here I want to commend Sanparks for their ability to fundraise. I mean, if your target is 100 million, you get 92. It's almost 100. It's quite commendable. We know for any organization to succeed, you need human resource. And yeah, I will not question your human resource development strategy. But when you did your presentation, CEO, you were talking about recruitment is underway. And I underlined the word underway. And then when I went through your presentation, there was no definite timeline. So my question is that when will you complete the outstanding vacancies? That is what I must. And then secondly, on page 6, your good green school initiatives. Is it happening only in Kruger National Park or in all provinces where you have sand parks, where there's a footprint of sand parks? And what I most is that what is the total numbers of rangers? I know you are continuously recruiting, but in concrete terms, how many rangers do you have as sand parks? And then in terms of your technology, I know you say that you cannot disclose the technology that you have, but Sandparks was bending around the question of installing technology like the radar and technology like the drones. How far are you with it? And then what I'm concerned about is that there's no deterrence for the DJ. Can you give me a chance? Thank you.
Honorable Marino was a teacher. He doesn't like to be disturbed.
Thank you, Chair, for protecting me. The DG is intimidating me. And you have an excellent relationship with DG. But what I'm concerned about, you is that it seems that all the... I'm not undermining the initiatives that we're taking in combating the rhino crime. But it seems that there's no deterrence. What we get is emboldened by the culprit. Have you done any research at Sandparks or any other partner for us to say to be able to evaluate why we are unable to deter the potential culprits rather than to give them courage to continue with it? In your operations with SAFS and all the multi stakeholder driven program, I don't get anything. I know you can't get into operations, but what you don't get is there are no stinging operations between ourselves and Mozambique. Like your stop and seize. You don't get there's a question of unscheduled, unannounced patrols, unannounced roadblocks. Those are things that we are not getting seen out. But my the chair and the whip have covered me on some of the other questions that I wanted to raise. Thanks very much.
If there are any remaining questions, let's ask them and finish so that we then proceed. I'll ask, in your visiting international groups, I see so many Chinese moving around and they are not there. Why do these China people not visit our parks? On your slide 22, and which makes it a little bit difficult for me, You see, we are expected to get at least 100% monitoring of the species in our past, particularly these big animals. And we are not getting that. Therefore, we are unable to make informed decisions of what is the impact of the poaching of our rhinoceros. To now the question that you guys have there, to the rhino population. If we can't know, how many do we have in absolute terms, as you indicate here, but you know, we have not concluded this work properly. What are the plans for us to make the necessary determination of what are the numbers of species? You have said what the difficulties are. Have we dealt with those difficulties? Moving forward. Honorable Sana?
And goes to Salava. I need up one more, and that is, once the aerial audit has been done, are you going to include that the value of your natural capital as part of your statement of financial position?
The issue you somewhat dealing with the AG on how you describe the domestic visitors, which is a source of, well, I think both are not reliable. Even yours is not very reliable. Well, your own, what is it, front employees determine whether I'm black or not. Okay, not necessarily. You know, I'm just saying equally, it may not be really accurate. Is it not possible for you to synchronize your systems with Home Affairs? Because in the meantime, you're even dealing with domestic people. When if you were to pass my ID number, it will immediately say I'm black or whatever, based on what the country as well has, and not necessarily somebody having to use his or her own discretion and say, I think this one is black or colored or whatever.
Colleagues, it's now in your hands. I know these are difficult questions, that's why, but Nali, on the rhino issues, answer everything that you can. Where you can't, we will still have the minister. We will make that arrangement. Have the minister, we will talk to the minister on these issues. She did make herself available so that we talk heart to heart without cameras on this issue. Of course, we also, Honorable Mustana was correct in the last meeting, that yet in our problem now, we don't have the interaction with such SADF, etc. We planned in the programs that we sent to everybody. We had that, but at a committee level, because we didn't have the date with everybody. So it would have been futile for us to include that when we don't have. We are still pursuing that, by the way. We are still pursuing anything with your strategic partners, your stakeholders, because that would be the only way of us assisting. But also, politically, having a wonderful, away from the media, interaction with the minister, that we will have in this quarter. So as you answer, be aware that we are planning this meeting as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members, for the questions. I will start with Honourable Standa. Although you were quick, but I managed to just catch some. There's a question, why Botswana and Swaziland? As we speak, the onslaught is in Kruger. Let me talk about our other parts that are small, like the ones in Botswana and Swaziland. We have rhinos in Marakele. We have rhinos in Addo. We have rhinos in Karoo. We have rhinos in Ohrabis. We protect those 24/7. There are no kings there. Therefore, it's the same like in Botswana. They have small reserves. Therefore, you are able to protect small populations. When it comes to Kruger, because of its size, bordering other countries like Zimbabwe and Mozambique, that's what the problem is. Therefore, small populations are easy. Those countries are small, although they lost their rhinos many years ago, we managed to deliver back to them from our sources. But small populations, you are able to protect. Hence, we see successes even here at home. Therefore, the size of Kruger is a big issue. Therefore, in protecting rhinos, there's an issue on the size of an area. What should DG will answer that one? The number of incidences, we measure that. I don't have that slide with me, honorable member, where we can show on a daily basis how many groups are entering the park. During full moon, during when the heat is high, during cold days, we measure that constantly. As a result, in our offroom, you can tell that people are entering now, and then you measure spores, you can be able to measure the number entering different areas, and also the traveling in trees. You always have three poachers, one to carry water, one to carry a rifle, and then one to carry the thing for hacking the horn. One carrying rations also. Therefore, we have a slide that measures all the incidences. Honorable with Makubela, on the expansion, we, in terms of the year's expansion strategy, each province is given a target to achieve that big 70%. Therefore, we in Sandbox, we have submitted a plan to DEA. We try to achieve that. But where I think you hit the head in the nail on the head was about other provinces. It becomes a contested space for us establishing new parks in other provinces. Like, for example, we wanted a grassland park for many years in the Eastern Cape. It never succeeded. The province said, we'll do it ourselves. Therefore, it's not always easy to establish new parks in provinces. Therefore, we end up now consolidating, expanding what we have, but establishing new ones that's ideal also because of the status given by the area by government. Under the targets, you were right, we picked this one up in terms of achieving. I think we're precautionary and conservative, you're correct. It's because of the economic climate globally. If we hear that the global economic crisis, you would be always conservative in your targets, because you run the risk of not people not pitching up and then increasing the spend. But what we plan to do moving forward, we want to take the trends of the last 10 years, say, how have we been doing? And then our target will be based on those trends. But because of the fluctuation, now we've been very, very conservative. We become lucky because people still love South Africa, they still come, it is under economic crisis. Therefore, we are correct, honorable member, to say we'll be conservative there. SMMEs, the reason they grow is clear in the targets of government. As we create employment, you must establish SMMEs. If you appoint a person in year one, in year two, that person must be able to say, I can be a contractor myself. Hence the clearing of alien plugs. There are many small MMEs because you train them and they start how you cut the tree, how to poison the tree, how you do a follow-up. After 6 months, you tell them that now you must be a contractor. You have the equipment, you are supported. Now you graduate from being a worker to be a small contractor, appointing more people. It makes it easier to achieve the targets. Because you pay the hacker, you say to the person, there's the target. Once you finish the hacker, you invoice us. So you become a contractor yourself. With women, why are we struggling?
Have the concern.
It's not an excuse for members. In the type of business we do as landparks, we run restaurants, we run hotels, we run other accommodation, we fly helicopters, we carry guns, we do a lot. Perhaps what we've been analyzing that in the Ranger Corps, we seem to have less women. It's one area we need to look at. When it comes to conservation, like your scientists, we seem to have less women. In the area of manual labor in parks, we seem to have less. These are three areas that we've noticed that we need to start having realistic targets and being radical. Therefore, it's a slow process on members, but it's one area we want to look at. But at the corporate level, we can be able to gain speed there in terms of how we do corporate, although we want to keep our head office a bit small. Honorable Kekana, on the use of correct target, the ideal outcome is less rhinos killed. That's what people want to see. Therefore, we need to measure the impact of interventions. We need to be able to say, this particular year, we'll do four things that can change the game. And then we put emphasis on those. We come and demonstrate that we did invest technology, we did increase ground coverage, we did increase aerial coverage. Therefore, once we measure those, we can be able to say, yes, we accelerated those, therefore, what is the problem? That's what we would like to measure. Type of interventions, how we accelerate those. Therefore, in the next APP, we'll be demonstrating those and then report on those. But the outcome should be the gains in terms of killings. Honorable Mabilo, when I spoke about recruitment, I was referring to the top structure that I showed. There's an ME Conservation Services interviews have been done, ME Tourism interviews have been done, but the only thing we do before we appoint a person, we want to do the assessment. So there's that thing that we appoint a person, you try and vet later, you create problems. Therefore, we are slow now because we need to vet those people, but they've been interviewed. Also, we have implemented a moratorium on filling of vacancies because of our HR costs. There is an element of that in other levels, in all levels. Therefore, we approve as it required. But we do not compromise security and tourism services. We fast-track those positions at different levels. But when it comes to admin, we say to people, can look internally before you go outside. The Green Hoodoo, the number of rangers, the figure I have in top of my head, we have 900 rangers in the whole country, in all our parks, but we have 400 in base in Kruger.
That will account for the fact in Kruger, how many rangers per square kilometer. Because isn't it that's what we want to give it, so that indeed we have what in London is called Bobby on the beat, so to speak. Are we able to with 400, or do we need more?
Chairperson, you need more. Let me also combine, Chair, with also one of my Mabilo's drones and other stuff. Although you can have technology, you can have air surveillance, you still need capacity on the ground. Because what you pick up from the air, you need ground support in order to be able to pursuit within the borders. Therefore, you still need more rangers to be on the ground, even if you have technology, even if you're flying drones. And then also combine some dogs to assist in that. In the deterrent, the SPG can assist. We in Simpax, our legislation prescribes what we can do in our borders of parks. Going outside is another terrain. Hence, we need
cooperation with
other structures.
We do collect our own intelligence in terms of, because we need intelligence-driven type of operations. We do have our staff collecting information, assisting us. We also have an informant network that we use to tell us that people are going to come to the park. But it's still a challenge in the outside. However, in terms of the BAFTA, SSA has established a Rhino Intelligence Group. They try to look at intelligently on this issue of Rhino poaching. Again, it's not accelerated as we wish, but the structure is there. It's a matter of them building capacity. Even deterring, you need some awareness where in other countries, because you need to start at the source of the supply of the funding. Perhaps DG can assist us there. On these things, again, we work within our parks, but under Operation CL, there's some acceleration with the police, and I'm also talking to them next week. They have a cluster meeting where I'll do a presentation on some of the issues so that can help those roadblocks. International visitors, they can assist by Chinese. I know some of them are in construction. They might be doing other things. But we still see some in our parks. In terms of monitoring, we want to emphasize counting our rhinos. Because we normally count everything. We can count the small game, but rhinos now, we want to put emphasis on an annual counting on them. But once we do that, we will also do count other animals because people still want to have information. Another problem, our rangers used to collect some data when they used to do normal patrols. But now because of poaching, they spend more time carrying firearms, not counting game. Because you can do area cleanups, but on a daily basis, you do collect data as people walk in the field. But for now, rangers are concentrating more carrying rifles and on the lookout for poachers. I think I have only question spoke about also aerial audits going to our balance sheet. We will have that. We'll be rich, but we can't. We can't come. We cannot take our elephants and our rhinos put in our balance sheet. It's another issue, even the auditor general is talking to. But you can only quantify once you've sold it. You must show the books. That I sold 4 rhinos, therefore they work so much. And how do I account for that money? In most cases, it goes to our park development fund. Because we take that money, buy more land, and invest in conservation. Within the issue of black visitors, yes indeed, AG made us think hard about how we measure this. We cannot drop this target. Because it's very important. Now the colleagues are looking at POPI. I believe there's a POPI Act and other acts that are limiting you in doing certain things. But it's one area we want to stay SA. We want to speak of home affairs as indicated. We want to also look at other pieces of legislation to assist us count this. Even taking the last ID number, although they even say now slightly misleading, the last 3 digits, at that point, we want to look at it moving forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Honorable members and the Kudu Greens, an initiative that is meant to expose learners in the area of housing. As honorable members might know that in housing, we don't have national parks. Although we have zoos, we have game reserves. We feel that for the learners in areas like the big townships or way to Mamelodi and areas like that, those learners, they have an opportunity to be exposed to national parks, hence creating a stream for people to be ambassadors of national parks and protected areas. Therefore, Ekuru Green is meant only for the people in housing, learners from housing schools. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. before DG, CFO, there was a question for you.
Thank you, Chair. Before I get to my question, there was just one question that CEO omitted, and that's the average price of the sale of a rhino is 313,000 rand each.
Huh?
313,000 rand each. That's the average price of the sale of a rhino. So they are expensive. Yeah. In terms of the depreciation question, Chair, there is no...
I must leave Parliament for wildlife economy.
I saw you were quite staggered, Chair. Chair and Honourable Members, there's no complication in the depreciation of assets because government grants are recognized at a different period when an asset is capitalized. So basically, depreciation will only kick in after we capitalize the asset. In other words, after the asset has been commissioned for use. Right? So for example, buildings and infrastructure is depreciated over between 20 to 50 years, that sort of thing. So those depreciation periods and our ability to depreciate the asset is unaffected by the timing difference that we have to, that I've reported on. There's no problems there, in other words.
No percentage?
No, there is percentages. Like, for example, certain assets are depreciated by 20% per annum, IT equipment by 33 1/3% per annum, etc. So we determine the right of periods, right, as sandbox, but obviously within the broader accounting conventions. So, you know, for example, if a motor vehicle is normally depreciated over 5 years, you would not then depreciate it over 20 years because it's outside the convention, right? So there's no complications, and depreciation is taking place through the asset register quite normally. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Just to make an addition that, I mean, from the AG always looks at the however treatment of assets and where are you then working within the convention in terms of the depreciation rules. So in terms of sandbox, there is no issue. So in essence, I think the answer could be then to your question that there is no indication that sandbox is working outside those prescribed periods and rates in terms of depreciation. And secondly, just also just to further add on the overall treatment of the accounting for animals, again, that is prescribed in terms of the what they spoke about GRAP before, but those are the accounting rules that are set out by the Auditor General, and sent us therefore is adherent to that. And all our members just...
We have stated that the other policies are in place. We have not asked you anyway, like personal policy, and we just assume or we may check with you, but for now the assumption is that if you're getting a qualified and so on and so on, it may mean that almost everything.
Certainly, and I think when we table the sandbox annual report, you then see from the Auditor General's the report in terms of whether everything is there for according to the standards as outlined in the accounting. So that's probably a correct assumption, but now we are not having the annual report. So when you consider the annual report, as the committee will then be able to confirm and establish that. Can I then just quickly talk to the issue? Oh, okay.
So, you know, the reason why I asked the question is because there's a move towards natural capital accounting, and I wanted to know if your department is moving in that direction, but I understand currently because it's difficult to quantify, you focusing on being GRAP and all the others compliant.
Yes, we do. The project on national accounting for natural resources in South Africa, we have been engaging pressure as a department.
So we have no outcome out of the process as yet until there is an outcome. For now, we just adhere to the current regulations and standards. And second, Chair, I also wanted to say that the CFO also is as new as the CEO, just so that some of the, but accounting, of course, they've taken over the accounting division, so even if they came towards the end of the financial year, they still have to account for all of what has happened in terms of before their time.
That's the sins of the people who are there.
Like, if I have been, somebody will have to account in the Department of Environmental Affairs. Chair, just to finalize on the other questions that are raised by the honorable members, the matter, honorable member, about hospitals is not part of the Environmental Affairs MOU. It falls outside of that. And I think at the last meeting where you had invited South African Port Service, they indicated that they were pursuing it, but it's not. In fact, even when we were in Kruger, we confirmed that there is no hot pursuit agreement. So as far as I know, from up to now, I have not had a different position. So we don't have a hot pursuit. However, in the context of our MOUs, particularly with Mozambique, I think there has been significant progress, both in terms of CITES. Remember that at the last CITES 16, there was a decision about certain things that must be put in place between South Africa and Mozambique. And therefore, in terms of our MOU, all of those requirements are already being fulfilled by Mozambique. So if I give an example, they now have an updated legislation. We have looked at investments together, both through the Dutch Lottery as well as the funding that we got. We're still negotiating with KfW, the Germans. Most of that funding, part of it will benefit South Africa, but most of it will be deployed in operation, some of our joint operations with Mozambique. So there is quite a significant element of progress with the implementation of the joint program between Mozambique and South Africa from the environment part of the agreement, which means our partners like Peace Park Foundation and the Chisano Foundation. And government, I think, is quite cooperating in respect of even the fact that they've passed the law, and there's been quite a positive movement forward. And then lastly, I thought the other two questions before I stop, Chair, we have other programs. What was I going to talk about? It was on research. Okay, on research, there was a question about whether you have, I think probably we need to think about a research program that would evaluate why you're unable to detect. And I was talking here, the CEO was showing me on that slide where you have a number of rhino mortalities per year. That slide tells the story. If you see 2011-12, you had 273 mortalities. In 2012, and in the country overall, it was 448. So we're talking about 60% at 2011-12. At 2012-13, that's slide 24 on page 12. 2012-13, we had 482 out of 668, which is 72%, so that's growth in the killing of rhinos in Kruger, or at least in Sand Park. 2013-14, 617 out of 1,004, which is about 61%, and then again it goes up in the next year, 2014 to 878 out of 1,215 in the country. So the question is, what happened in 2013-14? How did we manage to, what did we do right? Or what are the conditions that pertained for us to have a lower
a rate of killings at Sandparks compared to overall in the country. And yes, I think partly we can say managing small populations versus big populations, but we need to probably do more research to understand the phenomenon much better. So I think it's something that we should we can look at. And then I'm not well qualified to talk about the composition of the forested areas, whether they're Chinese or not, but what we understand about the Chinese visitors, they come through packages and come in groups, and they those packages have paid everything. Normally the money stays within China, actually, in our analysis. And so they would come and arrive and stay in certain facilities which normally are not the same facilities like what we have in Kruger. So I think I cannot fully explain that, and maybe the Department of Tourism and SA Tourism can help us because they are monitoring the profile of their of the visitors to the country, and they do research that could give us better information. And lastly, honourable members, around the conviction rates and the number of incidents, I think the department is compiling that report, what is called NESA, the National Enforcement and Compliance Report. We work with the other agencies because there's no convictions happen under justice. But we do have quite a number of rules. I mean, for instance, for the last 2014-15, we had a list of cases that were reported or handled through Kukuzla, and what were the sentences, what were the charges, and all of that for each of those cases. So the full report that gets published by the department would then give that information. And Isham, as you recall, at the last meeting indicated that they were finalizing the report because we have to verify the data and make sure that the other enforcement agencies confirm the statistics based on their reports. So that report will definitely be shared with the committee as soon as it is completed for this last financial year. But for 2013-14, we have the report that was published. Now we are going to publish 14-15. Yes. Thank you.
Colleagues, I want us to get to source. If it's a short question, I want us to continue. We don't have much time.
Chair, there was just an unanswered question regarding what happens to the translocated minors that are not sold. Are we going to get them back? Do we get the babies back? What is the agreement with regard to, you know, translocation to other countries specifically?
Chairperson, we and panel member and members, we just finished a policy on donations and custodianship. Those animals are ours. They belong to South Africa. We can get them anytime we want them. It's part of security and also spreading the risk. Therefore, they belong to us. We'll get them back one day.
Just maybe extend that question. The babies remain. For instance, you have given 300 rhinos to Botswana. Do you get, in terms of your policy, you get 300, then they keep whatever that they're able to make?
We not the baby chair. The chair, as you know, conservation is a global movement. What we do for them, they do something for us. But in our agreements, because we don't want to see this as free, we do put clauses that are ours. They might be for them forever, because if you look at the landscape, you would like to grow rhinos in Fadak, as an example. But we are not speaking to say you will bring us babies if we gave babies. We must say give us more than even what we have given to them. Yes.
And we will stick to that policy at an appropriate time. What that I wanted to understand, if you go to them through this family, you say to them, here are 5 rhinos. Yeah. Of course, they are here for safekeeping, use them in whatever way, and secure them, you would have done the risk assessment, everything else.
from where you are sitting, if these rhinos multiply, do you get the all multiplied version or the five? That's the point that applies it to. Which rhinos are yours? The five or the 50 that comes from the five?
For now, the five is what we would say is ours. Even in terms of the law currently, the Protected Areas Act, if those animals were not donated, for instance, they jump the fence and go to another land owner, and that land owner keeps them safe and they multiply, you cannot just take them back, decide that they are yours. You have to follow a process and negotiate, because that land owner has kept them safe, has contributed to conserving that species. So the law allows for that other land owner to also claim, have a claim on that species. And also there are issues that are related to risks and liability. For instance, here in Cape Town, we've been talking about baboons that have left Table Mountain. Those baboons are not ours, or they are not sensitive baboons. The fact that the state and some of the people have domesticated them, and now they are causing problems in those, then you cannot say you want to try to then pass liability to send pass. So that's how the law is structured, because you also have to think about some of the risks that are associated with that species, especially now when you translocate the rhinos, you are translocating risk. So that the landowner or even that government must then make sure that they secure them for you and for the nation and the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know we took quite some time, and I think it's understandable why we took quite some time on some parts. We are now coming to those people who are praying. I wonder which church is that. Is that the same snake? Okay. Dr. Makule, thank you very much. You can go home. We know it's Friday, you got paid. You can go home. Dr. Makule.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Member, the DG, and also my colleague. Good morning. Chairperson and honorable members, that is not a church. Those are the people who are really looking after our lives and our property. They were celebrating a report in terms of our customer survey that our customers are satisfied with the work that we do. We got a special dance when we have achieved, and we work together whatever the weather as our African weather service. Thank you very much, Chairperson. My presentation, if we may go to the next slide. My presentation is just looking at the introduction and then the performance from quarter one to quarter four. It's a little bit detailed, Chair, in terms of all the activities each quarter. And then looking at also the financials. Chairperson, we have not gone into detail in terms of the financials. We haven't looked at the annual financial statements, but we've looked at the targets in terms of our expenses and also our income, which we'll talk to that then. Thank you very much. Next slide. I think, Chair, it's also important that in terms of our first goal and the first objective is for us to meet all the regulatory requirements and also making sure that the organization will run a clean administration, and also in terms of the set targets, we achieve those set targets. This dashboard report, Chairperson, is from AG, and we've just consolidated the last quarter, the final for the whole year, and we get this dashboard report on a quarterly basis. The areas where in the previous year we had some few areas of improvements where there were findings, the faces were not smiling, there were amber, and needed to move to green. Under leadership, it is the area where we're looking at specifically our financials and performance reporting and the controls in there. I would like to thank the CFO and the other team members that have joined the organization. In those areas where we had some administration issues that we needed to deal with the previous year, we managed to deal with them, and when we come to report on the annual report, we'll be able to give more details, honorable members. Everything with the financials, we've got green faces throughout. Then with the next one, Chair, under human resource management, we also, the previous year, we had areas where we had some findings, and we worked through those to correct them so that we don't have that face that's not smiling. We have environmentally friendly green face. We also have achieved that. And then the other area, Chairperson, was around information technology governance. And I must say our audit committee is keeping us on our toes in looking at IT within the organization, which are also our backbone. So we've managed to address some of the issues there where the Auditor General felt that we need to strengthen our IT governance framework, which we have managed to also get the green face. On financial and performance management, Chairperson, all we have green faces, and then it's only the last one around the information technology. With the information technology, Chair, with the findings, if we can move to the next slide. With the information technology, Chair, we still had a few areas where, in fact, it's two findings that with the Auditor General that we said we will look into them and we'll manage that risk very closely. We'll also talk to that when the time comes. Then on governance, Chair, one of the issues that we've raised also when we were presenting what our mandate last time was to also indicate that you will also, the portfolio committee will also like to have an understanding of how the governing body, that is the board, the shareholder, together with the organization are working very closely. I must say that with pride, this is one of the areas where the governance structures of the organization are very strong, even in terms of the controls. In this area, we all have, Auditor General gave us a clean bill of health. So when we come here to report on our annual report, we'll be reporting an unqualified audit with no matter of emphasis. Thank you, Chair. How we have done on a quarterly basis? Quarter one, Chair, we have set targets. If you look at the target, we've set the target on a quarterly basis for all the quarters. Quarter one, in terms of the first strategic objective, where we maintain compliance with all statutory requirements. Quarter one, we focused on addressing all the findings that are raised by Auditor General in preparation for also the audit by Auditor General. So that we started the previous year, but quarter one, the emphasis is to look at that. And indeed, as a person, we also got the dashboard report that looks like the first report, that the over report of the organization. Moving to objective two. With objective number two, where the goal is to ensure the continued relevance of the organization in delivering meteorological and related products and services. The strategic objective is to provide programs and applications for weather and climate variability, climate change, adaptation and mitigation. So our role in here is to provide an application that's going to assist the country in dealing with issues of climate change and climate variability, and most for adaptation and mitigation. So there are a number of applications and platforms that we have come up with. For example, we are providing products to different industry and different customers, and some of the products are customer made. So we've come up with some applications that will assist us to do that. One of them is a product generator, where they say how useful is this, how is it used by those that are users of that, and also the other projects that I presented some time back, which is really working very well out there, is the CCV, it's an automatic hybrid weather station, where that weather station has got also cameras. So we are working very closely with the municipalities. You've got this automatic weather station with a camera, so forecasters can actually see what is happening. But with these products as well, you can also monitor security and what is happening physically.
Emma.
Okay.
Yeah, when I get CEO, when you come to report to us, you say quarter one.
Okay.
Reports are available after quarter four.
Oh.
That doesn't take us anywhere. Because as soon as you have a clear indicator for your quarter one and a clear objective, provide programs and applications for weather and climate variability, climate change, adaptation and mitigation. Then we are saying we have, of course, key performance application usage levels. Then you say you have achieved 70%, but you don't even know what are those applications that you have produced. Now we are speaking to those applications.
Yes.
Now, somewhere you were supposed to say to us that you have been able to do, though you have not achieved 100%, what would 100% mean in this instance?
I was coming to that.
But you are speaking, you're not in the report. You will not be there when we read the report. You will not be there. When we appreciate myself and this lady and the we must then prepare a report that goes to Parliament. On that strategic objective, what do you say? So we must ask you to write the report for us. What are the applications we have been able to make available as mitigation or adaptation measures for which industry, and how have they been useful? But again, you have said 70%. What is the 80% that we have not been able to do in terms of whatever chances that you have? But do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
Because again, if this is what will be listening to the whole day, that might not be helpful. It might not necessarily be helpful, because we might as well go to quarter four or go to the annual report. Because all want to know, yourself measuring yourself on quarter one, how did you perform?
Okay.
Measuring yourself on quarter two, on whatever objective you have, how did you perform? And what were the limitations? What were the weaknesses? And how did you address the weaknesses? I don't get that sense yet. I don't know whether we're together. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm just lost now. I'm really lost now. I think also member of lost.
Also, when we started the hydroelectricity, in the main, it's more compliant. What we needed in the main was major areas of non-compliance, so that we understand what were the challenges. Where you have actually complied, there's not much that we can ask about it. You can clarify and critique. We needed more the strategic issues and where there are challenges, just for us to be up to speed with your good sense, what were the challenges, so that when we get to the next financial year, or this financial year, at least we have an understanding some days, and because we never did this with you before. So we are not very clear where we are. Other than spending time on the detail about those of the things you even performed well, where you comply, which may not be very much understood. Anyway, we can even see and we are agreed with you. But where there are challenges, share with us so that we help you moving forward, even if there are ways of handling that
in the current financial year.
Okay.
In fact, I have just gone through the report now. The struggle of the report is not helpful to us. It's not helpful to us. In fact, what will be even be more helpful, you see what SAPAS did, they did not necessarily go quarter to quarter. But they said this was the strategic objective, as you always said, for the year, this is how we performed. For the year. This is the second strategic objective. For the year, this is where we missed the ball, and of course the comments, why? Of course, we also hear the saying, but in this one, it didn't even have targets. But what you are saying here is but a difficult reason, that's the problem of being to talk us. That's what we don't have.
My document has quarter three, which is page 18 and page 19. Mm-hmm. And we don't have quarter four.
My question is about quarter four. Yes.
I'm looking at your quarter four. What is there now? Well, maybe let's give you the opportunity to prevent. Is this quarter four?
Yes.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to talk now. I'll leave it to the members. I will try to assist you. I'll leave it to the members now. I'm not going to talk because if members don't get what they expect to get from you, we will be here until 6 o'clock in the evening. Yes,
Chairperson, may I humbly request that I do have a presentation with the summary that you require in terms of each goal and objective. Then these are the details. You can come back and do those details. It's just 5 slides that will help with the process.
Oh, the slides, that's great. If the details, by the way, the details should be speaking to the standard framework that you use in government. You know, we don't want anything different, by the way. But you see, some of us, we created that framework
so that we're able to hold you accountable. We say, this is what we planned, and this is strategic objective. Within this strategic objective, this is what we have planned to achieve and target. And whether we are able to achieve those targets. And if we are not able to achieve the targets, why? That's all. Very, very simple. Comrade Whip.
And the second, let's say the third one, on goal 2. It does indicate the quarters under 2014-16 quarterly performance. It shows addressed 80% previous survey concerns and so on. But then we go to 3 where there's no achievement. When you go to the comment of deviation, there's nothing. And it does not tell you what was the baseline. Not only every activity there will be a baseline, but there will be those that were supposed to say, we're moving from this to that. For instance, for us to understand why the target was 75%. What was it before? 2013-14. Was it 80? Was it 80? And now went to 75 because 80 is not achievable. So we are able to then say, Doctor, do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
I'm saying you have got no baseline, but other than that, you also do not have any indication of where you are. You haven't been able to perform. What was it if you deviated for whatever reason or there were challenges? We are not being told. The explanations are mostly on those that you did well. The same goes to the other one, that for, not did I say it's the fourth one. Mm-hmm. I think the sixth stage. There are no comments that you needed not to say that and so on. But I'm just saying, I think what the show was saying, because we just tell us the target that we did not achieve, but we are not able to measure that target against the previous financial level. It does not give a whole picture. And so,
probably need to come back and present.
You, the department, and because you see, some of us are very fast readers.
Mm.
Even when you go to Gold Tree to address the short term by the what, grow public good revenue. Now, we don't even know what was supposed to be the growth target. Now, we are progress report. We are referred to senior management accounts, whatever. Comments on deviation, nothing. Then 2014-15, you grew by 34 million, 2, quarter 3, 34 million, quarter 14. Now I can tell you, being a person who knows how to fundraise, you can't in all these quarters be fundraising this amount, the same amount up to the last end. Quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3, or even... can you go home? Can you go home? Do us justice. You know what your strategic objective is. Because even if you are to go to what you want to do now, Dr. Makule, my problem is that your base document does not assist us to reach these conclusions. The base document of the department, by the way, I will tell you, they were above 90%, 92% of the achievement, if you don't include the yellows. Now, you could, as you were going through, even get a sense that you are going to get over 90%. As an individual, as auditor general, or as a committee. In this instance, we have not been in some of the activities, in some of the objectives, and we have no understanding how to arrive at your year targets for 2014, and how in all these quarters do you achieve the same goal or the same target, and you are not achieving it in a progressive manner in the year. Now, Nina, if you want us to come and assist you, we will refer you to your accounting standards. Just go to that document. Look at that document. Sit down with the department. We will call you. Because from where we are now, I don't think that will go anywhere. We won't go anywhere. We'll be asking many questions that we are not supposed to ask. In fact, we said to you, Dr. Makulen, this is basically compliant, but it gives us a window of what we must expect in this financial year when we deal with the first quarter of this year. Where are you in the first quarter of? We are not in the second quarter, third quarter, because we are going to call you. So I don't know, colleague, whether you are agreeing with me that we allow the source to go home and just do a simple thing. What are the strategic objectives? Of course, within a program, don't mind, you can say, within this program, this is the strategic objective that we have for the year, and whatever that informs the strategic objective, but what is the baseline that you are working, what is it that we have been wanting to achieve or achieved over years, and what was the target for the year? Did we achieve the target or did we overachieve? If we overachieved, why? If we did not achieve, why? Those that have got targets. There are some that are explanatory. Not necessarily. Again, even those explanations are still targets, by the way. Because you still explain that, yes, we wanted to build, to ensure that so many stations are able to report to SACIS. Are they reporting? If not, why not? So to us, we want something very simple. Not complicated, doctor. We want complicated. Maybe you are too complicated here. Just make it very simple to read for us. What were the objectives, the baseline, and of course, the target for the year, and if we meet the target, if we didn't meet the target, why, and what are the corrective measures that we are putting in place so that then we are, even that we might not even ask you, we can let you, you know, talk until you understand. That's where we are not a little bit happy about what you are saying. We don't chip in, but we allow you to speak until we are done. TG, let's start with it. But are you agree with us that I can't? Nothing, that's not as good as we whether we go to the fourth quarter, go to the third, whatever, the manner in which information is given is not assisting us. Julie?
Thanks, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think perhaps the confusion is that in the normal format that we use for the department, we put the quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, so that you can actually see them all, and you can see the progress in terms of each of the quarters up front for that particular objective, and then the baseline is included. I think that all of the information is actually here, except we don't have the baseline, and I think that perhaps the confusion is that it's been set out per quarter consecutively. So it's quite difficult to get a sense of the sequencing and a sense of the progress per quarter. So I think, and I will take responsibility, and I did not provide that guidance to SOAR. And since I'm the board member that is meant to be providing that guidance.
Just for now, you have been on fire. Go and provide that guidance whilst you are not fired. But it's not in every item where you are saying there are comments that explains. In most of the things, there are no comments that explains why the division.
Yeah.
There are no comments at all. It's just the blank. Again, there's no baseline. On what basis we arrive at a particular target when we don't even have the baseline?
Okay.
Because you must first tell us, if your baseline is 80, why do we have a target that is now 70, for instance? We will ask the question first. If there's a baseline, that baseline segment is so important. Stanley?
Thank you, Chair. I've noticed that there's a very diverse way of presenting the annual performance report and financial statements across the different entities. I think that the department should standardize the way each entity reports to us so that we get all the information we need in the same or similar format. So that Sandparks, you know, presentation isn't completely different to the Souls and Sandy, etc. So if I can just ask for, you know what our committee wants, please ensure that all of the entities provide the same.
Same format, but we have different expressions.
Yep.
And so it's not, yes, I understand, but we are all expected to use the same.
That's how the board member.
Of course.
The board member is metal.
Of course, I must apologize myself. I did not look at the presentation before I came here. So that I must say, normally we process these things. So we will go back and refine. Okay. We'll go back and refine and then we'll submit the entry. Thank you very much.
Let's just hope we have time to have you before you report on your third quarter, because you then have difficulties. You have serious difficulties. Let's just hope that we have time. Let's hope, Susan, you have time to sort them in. Already, you have our program is full. That program is full. So, if you want to say something, and I agree with what Honorable Stana has said, department, will you take responsibility? And again, to us, it is not a plain smash. You know, we told you long ago that we are going to want to know, how did you perform in 2014? How did you perform? And why did you not meet your standards, where you, your targets, where you set some tests? Then just say that, and you say, what are the corrective measures? Because when we come to you next, we say, you said you have put corrective measures. what happened to those corrective measures in quarter one of 2015 with that, we are very much sorry, but please, we know that you can do this, you can put these things in a manner that is readable and understandable, and again, that is very simple. Very simple to read, reader friendly. With those words, DG, we will then say you go with your colleagues. You can even go and do the report now in your office. Then we will call. Then we don't call us. We will call you. Okay. And thank you very much, Dr. Makuleni, with your team. You can have your documents as well, because. For now, they will not assist us. They will not assist us. Yeah. Yeah. The members, those who are not here earlier on, honorable members Tanner and Shelley and Makubena, we have a letter. I hope you have seen the letter. If you are available on the day, just indicate so that we make an indication to the people who have invited us that yes, we're coming.
Yeah. Yeah. They are saying the training is an hour 30 minutes. But those who are available on the day,